Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, for the power of God being manifested to them tonight. We thank you, Father, as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability. We come in your strength and your power and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that's present tonight. And we stir that anointing up. And we thank you if anyone is here or watching us online that's going through a situation that needs something, that needs help, Father. We thank you that anointing will minister to them wherever they may be. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Like I said, it's Dad's 81st birthday tomorrow, and amen. On Sunday morning, we sang happy birthday to Pastor. We also gave him a card and a nice offering, and so on behalf of him, he wants to say thank you to all the church members, all you that are watching us online. You know that he loves you and appreciates you and everything else. Whenever I heard that they were going to sing that song, I decided that I'm going to preach on the man who can. Amen. So we're going to go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And like I said, that's one of Dad's favorite songs. Now, his favorite rendition is done by Charles Keating, where he puts that sweet Jesus in on that. You know, you've all heard his version. You know, it's always my favorite when he says sweet Jesus. Because Jesus is sweet. Amen. John chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great number of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Notice that, you know, these weren't just small diseases. He didn't say people there with colds, you know, asthma. It says blind, lame, paralyzed people. I mean, you know, these were sickly people. So I always like to get a visual of things, you know. So let's kind of visualize this. You know, it says there were a big pool there, had five porches. And I always think about whenever I read this story about a water park. Anyone ever been to a water park? Now, these are the main attractions of the water park or is a thing called a wave pool. Anyone know what a wave pool is? A wave pool is a big pool, and there's a lot of people there. And then every whatever time that they decide, you every 30 minutes or every hour or whatever, there's a big bell that goes off. And when that bell goes off, people start getting excited because all of a sudden you see the moving of the water. Waves start. And when those waves start, you know, people get all excited. So I kind of think about this as this was kind of God's wave pool. You know, an angel came down and stirred the water. And when the water was stirred, then it says the first person that got in. And you know, we read there's a lot of sick people here. I mean, really, really bad sick. But the first person that got in the water, they got healed instantly. Now, I don't know all the rules. You know, if you go to a wave pool, they have certain rules and certain times that it's going to, you know, going to go. But I guess that the angel came down as a spirit led. So, you know, people might be there for days before the angel comes down. I mean, it doesn't say he came down once a day. So I don't know how, you know, how long it took. But I'm here to tell you the people who were there around that pool must be persistent. Because they were waiting for something to happen. And then we read about one guy. So verse number 5, it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Now, the Bible says a certain man. It doesn't say his name. So let's just name this certain guy Bob. Okay, Bob is by the pool. Now, Bob has had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, let's put that in perspective. How many here are 38 years old or younger? Lift your hand. 38 years old or younger. So that means that that man had an infirmity for as long as you are old. You know, think about, hopefully you've had a good life. I mean, maybe you've lived 38 years. This guy suffered for 38 years. I mean, think about Bob's life. Now, I like I said, I don't know what the pool rules are, you know, because it doesn't tell us here in the Bible. You know, I know every pool I've ever gone to always has rules. Usually the first rule is no lifeguard. So I guess, you know, every man for himself. You know, I don't know if the pool closed at nighttime and they had to all get out. I mean, think about that. If they did have to leave, that means that every day these people would have to find their way back to this pool. These people were blind. They were lame. They were paralyzed. I mean, you know, it's not really easy to move around. Now, maybe they were allowed to stay by the pool as long as they want to stay by the pool. You know, I don't know what the rules are. But the thing is, these people are persistent because, see, they only saw one way to get healed, and that was to be the first man in. The first person in. I said first man, because I'm sure there might be ladies by the pool. You know, be the first person in the pool. So Bob here, now I don't know how long Bob's been laying at the pool. It says he had an infirmity for 38 years. I don't know if he was 38 years old. I don't know if he's been laying there for 38 years. I don't know, but it kind of indicates to me by reading this, he's been there a long time. And evidently, Bob must have something that was pretty bad because verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? You know, so Jesus, you know, came to the man and said, I know you've been here a long time. Do you want to be well? And the guy's like, no, duh. I mean, I've been here for a long time. I've been waiting for someone to stir up the pool. Now, obviously, this man did not know who Jesus was. Because if he would have known who Jesus was, he would have answered it quite different. But the way he answered Jesus was, he said this, verse number 7, Bob answered him. It's, I know the Bible says a sick man, but we're going to remember his name is Bob. We gave him a name. All right, so Bob answered him, sir, at least he was respectful. He called Jesus sir. Maybe we should be more like this man, you know, here today. There's not too many people calling people sir. All right, he says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. I mean, so here, this guy, he's persistent to be there, but he already knows when the angel comes down and stirs the pool, whenever the siren goes off or, you know, whatever, he's still not going to be the first one in because he needs somebody to help him. Now, see, if I was Bob and had a little bit of money, I would have got someone who's really big and strong, you know, because I don't know. I don't know if they had, a lot of places have rules and said, you know, everyone has to be behind this line. There's probably a line that you had to be behind. I don't know. I don't know what the rules were. I know you had to be at least behind the edge, you know. So, you know, it sounds like you couldn't be there with your feet in the water. I don't know if you're hot, what you do or whatever, but I would hire a big guy that as soon as the angel come down, I say, okay, just take me and just throw me as far as you can. Hopefully it's far enough that I can make it in the water. You know, I mean, that would be the best way because Bob says, I got nobody. I got nobody to help me. Because he didn't know the man who can. Because when the man showed up in front of him, he still didn't know who he was. He didn't know it was Jesus. But see, we know who Jesus is. We know the man who can. We know the man that's ready, willing, able to help us out at any second, during any situation. So whenever Jesus says, do you want to be well? Do you understand there's many times that we're going through times of sickness or disease or you know, just other bad times. And Jesus is saying to us, hey, do you want to be well? Do you want to get out of this situation? And we're like, well, I don't have anybody to help me. Maybe if I get a second job, I could pay my bills or that or whatever, you know. But we need to know the man who can and the man who did and the man who is. Anyway, we'll get that in a minute. So verse number 8, Jesus said to Bob, he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, you know, this guy, Bob, he doesn't know Jesus. So the fact that he actually got up, I mean, that's probably, you know, I mean, that's pretty trusting. I mean, you know, to him, it seemed like Jesus must have been a stranger. And Jesus said, get up and walk. And Bob did. He got up. But you know, sometimes I think Jesus is telling us, hey, get up. Get over your situation. Start walking again. Start being normal. And we're like, well, I'm not sure if I can or not. Yeah, but we serve the man who can. He's right there with us, just like he was standing here, you know, with Bob that day. You know, it says immediately the man, or Bob, was made well. He took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath, and that meant something because you're not supposed to be walking with your mat on the Sabbath. Not sure why, but that was a rule. Not gonna comment on some of the rules. But the point is that Bob had nobody. But then the man who can came by to visit Bob one day. I mean, think about this, 38 years. You know, more than half my life, Bob had an infirmity that evidently he probably couldn't walk. I don't know what his infirmity was. The Bible's not really clear. Sounds like he was probably lame. And immediately, when the man who can showed up on the scene, Bob got up and he began to walk. He got up and he began to do what Jesus told him to do. He got up and walked. Now, what I do not understand, you know, sometimes we read the Bible, we do not understand. I do not understand why Mary and Steve and Susan and everybody else that was there didn't say, I'm next. Pick me. Because we don't read about anybody else. Because the pool was full of sick people. But Jesus only came to Bob. Why was it? Probably Bob had been calling out and been praying. I mean, I don't know why. Sometimes people, you know, want to try to figure out why. I don't know why. But I'm telling you, if I was sitting next to Bob, because everybody there was sick. And I'm not talking about a cold sick. I'm not even talking about the coronavirus sick. I'm talking about really sick. I'm talking about, you know, they're not living a good life. I understand people have you know, died from other ailments or whatever, but I mean, these guys were bad sick. And they needed the man who can. Now, see, at that time, the only way to get to Jesus was to find him. But what was so amazing is Bob didn't have to find him. He found Bob. He found Bob. And you know, if he found Bob, he can find you too, but he already knows where you are. I'm sure most of you are probably, you know, call yourself a Christian. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know where the Spirit of the living God is? On the inside of you. You don't have to look for Jesus. You don't have to find Jesus. He doesn't have to find you. He's with you. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. That means wherever you go, Jesus is there also. Everywhere you go, he's also with you. Every situation you face, he's right there on the inside of you. He's right there with you. Now, I don't know why nobody else got healed that day, but I'm here to tell you, you know what? When I see somebody else getting healed, I'm next. Or maybe you had a financial situation, and you know, you hear a testimony how this person, you know, they said, well, you know, I'm debt free today. I got rid of all my debt. You know, I'm going to call. I'm next. You know, I don't want to be like Bob and Susie and all the people around. Bob got healed, but all the other people around Steve and all the people that were there that day. I'm not sure what all their names were. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says this. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that healed Bob that day in the pool is the same Jesus that will heal you and take care of your situation today and tomorrow and the next day and 10 years from now and 20 years from now and 100 years from now. We serve the same Jesus. When we serve the man who can. Not only has he can, but can he already has. Now, 1 John 4:4, and I'm sure most of you can quote that scripture as well. Most of you probably quote every scripture I read, but it's okay. We'll turn there. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, we have the greater one on the inside of us. Now, I like what the New Living Translation says. It says it like this. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. You've already won. See, people are waiting to win. Why are you waiting to win when you've already won? It makes no sense, because, you know, I know a lot of people that are praying, well, God, help me win this situation. Help me get through this situation. You know, help me battle through. Well, he says you've already won. You don't need help winning when you've already won. What you need help is remembering the man who can is on the inside of you, and he's always with you, and he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you, and he'll always be with you, and you will get through anything. He hasn't come this far to let you down. He said, one of my favorite verses, that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think, and I can ask and think a lot. That's the way Jesus wants me to live my life. An abundant life. You know, and yeah, sometimes we have storms that come. You know, the other day I woke up 4 a.m. and there were some loud booms, thunderstorms or whatever. You know what I did? I went back to sleep. It's just a bunch of noise. Now I did turn the TV on. I knew there was no tornado warning or watch or whatever. I didn't even pray about anything. I just went back to sleep. There was just a bunch of noise. It's a bunch of storms. Well, here's the thing. You're going to go through a bunch of storms sometimes, you know, but sometimes you just need to just fall back asleep and say, you know, Lord, I'm just trusting in you. You got me. I know you're the man that can, and we already have. We've won this situation. Yeah, there might be storms. There might be some loud booms. But you know what? They're just the devil making noise. You know, the devil makes noise sometimes. But, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, talked about the other day, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Just some weapon trying to boom and make noise. It's okay. We've already won the victory. There's nothing to worry about. Why? Well, then the verse says, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Now, Sunday morning, Dad talked about Jesus, the name above all names. That we have the name of Jesus. In any situation that comes our way, all we have to do is cry out, Jesus. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. That's the man who can. That's the man who's already done it. You realize 2,000 years ago, died upon the cross, and he won the battle for you. Now, the devil tries to tell you that you're a loser and not a winner. Or loser, double loser. See, that's the devil. He's a double loser with the horns. All right? You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're victorious through Christ Jesus. The Bible tells you that. The Bible tells you you're a winner. You know, maybe you've lost at every sport you play at, but the Bible still tells you that you're a winner. Now, maybe not a winner in sports, but you're a winner in life. All right? In the end, you're going to win. You're going to make it. There's nothing too hard. We have the man that can with us at all times. At all times. You realize there's never one time in the day that Jesus is not with you. Never one time. Even when you open the mail and you count your bills, count them one by one, Jesus is still there. When you go to the doctor and they run some tests and the doctor says negative things, Jesus is still there. Now, the Bible says that we have already won the victory through our Lord, through the greater one that lives on the inside of me. But see, we have to know, see, you know, we're talking about the man who can. Well, he can if we let him. We have to let him. Well, how do we let him? We say, you know what, Jesus, this is what I'm going through. Take care of it. Well, that sounds too simple. Praise God, I serve a simple God. That's what we have to be simple. That's why children always get their needs met, because they're simple. They actually believe that Jesus can do it for them. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that the way that it seems the world has been acting here recently in fear and all kinds of stuff, I wonder if we really know Jesus. We really know the power of Jesus. Do we really know what kind of authority we have in the name of Jesus? Because a lot of people aren't acting like it. A lot of people are acting like the world's coming to an end. And yeah, maybe we are living in the last days, but the world's not ending tomorrow. All right? And even if it is, the Bible says to occupy till it comes. And it's no fun occupying if your mind is all clouded with what am I going to do and how am I going to make it and you know, how am I going to get through this year? This is the greatest year ever. And if you want to know, just go back and listen to my sermons if you haven't been here. 2020 is the best year ever. I've been claiming it ever since the beginning of the year, and I didn't stop claiming it when the coronavirus hit. You know, I don't care about viruses hitting. I don't care about what's going on, you know, because you know what? God is my source. The government's not my source. My president's not my source. My senator's not my source. My congressmember's not my source. God is my source. And God has always already caused me to triumph through Christ Jesus. The Bible says so. Exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think. And I'm having a good year. I know some people are having a crummy one, but I'm having a good year. Even better than the tires. You know, not just the Goodyear tires. I'm having a real, actually good year. All right. But, see, you know, Jesus is just waiting for us to ask him. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, in verse 13 and 14, it says this. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 12. Let's back up to verse 12, because I want you to kind of understand the context. So back up, John chapter 14, verse 12 from New Living Translation. Sorry, guys. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now, that's pretty exciting. You know, notice it didn't say any preacher. It says anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works. Now, have you ever seen what Jesus has done? Did you understand that Jesus walked on the water? He fed 5,000 people with a couple fishes and a little bit of bread. He says that the same works that I've done and greater things shall you do. Why? Because I went to the Father. And you know, he's at the right hand of the Father, but the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. So he's talking about this situation. Right here, he's talking about the future and not the present. Right now, he's talking about what's going to happen in the future. So this scripture relates to us because we're living in the future. See, we're living after he went to the Father, after he died upon the cross. So this scripture relates to us. And what does it say? Verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. So it says, if you have something that you need, ask and I will do it. Now, just because he's a man that can doesn't mean he will until you ask. We have not because we ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. So what we have to do is ask. And this, I preached on this scripture the last Sunday of 2019, going into 2020. I said, this is the year you need to ask. He's a man who can, but let's just ask. Let's ask him. What do you need? Do you need money to pay bills? Then ask him for that. Do you need a new job? Then ask him for that. Do you need more? Do you need healing from some kind of sickness or disease? Then ask him for that. Do you need protection? Ask him for that. Do you need to get rid of the depression? Ask him for that. What do you need? Whatever you need, the man that can will if you ask him. But if you don't ask him, he's not going to do anything, even though he wants to, because he's not going to intervene. You have a choice. Your choice is ask him and have it, or don't ask him and don't have it. Now, a lot of people, their first mentality is when they go through a situation, they kind of forget about the man who can, they forget about Jesus, and they start thinking in their own mind, what am I going to do and how am I going to get through this? And see, that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is, I'm going to ask Jesus. Do you realize Jesus is greater than Google? You can ask Google and he can give you information, or they can give you information. But you can ask Jesus and he can give you the answer. He can give you the answer. And you guys know I'm a big Googleologist. I mean, I'm really big on Google. I guess I know how to search Google more than most people, because people actually ask me to do their Google searches for them sometimes. I'm like, don't you have Google? And then I search for it anyway. Because I'm the guy that will go to the 50th page. Maybe not that far, but I'll go to the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th pages. One time I went to like the 20th page on Google and I got the answer that I needed. 20 pages deep. Because somebody doesn't know how to make their website show up on the first page. But it was on a website that it had the answer I needed. 20 pages deep. Because I'm the guy that goes to the 20th page. Because I guess I'm a researcher. I like to research. I like to figure out stuff sometimes. But you know what? When I ask Google, it will tell me about something. But when I ask Jesus, he'll give me the answer. I don't have to do it for myself. Now, there's been many times that whenever there's something in my house I need to fix, I've gone to Google. You know, and usually Google points me to a YouTube thing and somebody says, this is how you fix this, and this is how you fix that. And then you can follow directions. But when you ask Jesus, Jesus said, I'm ready, willing, and able, and he'll provide the answer for you every time. Because he says, whatever, if we ask anything in his name, that he's going to do it for us. And then he repeats himself. Man, you always like when people repeat themselves. Now, a lot of times whenever we minister, we'll repeat ourselves saying the same thing over and over again because we want to make an emphasis on something. Well, Jesus here repeats himself in verse 14, and he says, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You know what? When we repeat ourselves, we're trying to make a point. So the point is, Jesus says, guys, just ask. Just ask. Please ask. What are you waiting for? Ask me. I'm here, open-armed. I'm the man who can. Just ask me. And the thing about it is that we have that man on the inside of us. It's right there all the time. All the time. I always tell everyone, when I walk in a room, I have all the answers. Not I have all the answers. But I have Jesus Christ who has all the answers. I know the greater one. I know the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. I know that I'm victorious through Christ Jesus. I don't get depressed because I know Jesus. All right? And you know, the thing about it is, whenever we are going through a tough time, and I have gone through tough times like we've all, and sometimes we, you know, the devil tries to just get in your head or whatever, that's when you have to go back and know who you are in Christ Jesus. The Bible calls it renewing of the mind. And when the devil tries to get you to think differently, then you need to get your mind on straight. Now, sometimes people say, well, your mind, I mean, how can you talk like that? Because you're just too positive. You know, I always talk positive because you know what? It's hard to be negative when you have Jesus. You know, I always have the can-do attitude because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I know a lot of people have been getting on to the president because they said, well, he's been too positive during all this bad stuff. Well, I personally think that he should be positive. I think leaders should say, you know what, we're going to get through this. We're going to make it. It's all going to be okay. Trust in the Lord. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We have the man who can inside of us every day of the week. 24/7, 365. And it happened to be leap year, 366 days. He's there on the inside, ready, willing, and able to help you through every situation. And all we have to do is ask the man who can. We don't have to sit at no pool. We don't have to wait for some angel to come down. We don't have to wait for some special word from some special minister to give, because we have the greater one on the inside, and greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. So my point is, quit waiting on the man and just ask him. Just ask him. Just ask him, whatever you need, whatever it is. You know what? He said, ask me anything. He didn't say, you know what? There's a couple of things that are really, really tough, so don't ask me those. But everything else you can ask me. No, he says, ask me anything. 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 He didn't put a limit on it. See, that's where your faith is. Your faith is the only thing that's going to limit you from receiving, because God wants to give you anything. Now, sometimes we don't think that we can receive anything because we think that this number's too high or that number's too high, you know, and that's just too hard. But the things that are impossible to my mind are possible to my Jesus. Just because I can only, you know, it seemed impossible, doesn't matter. We serve a possible God. And we serve the man who can, will, and wants to. And all we have to do is ask. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. And we thank you, Father, that we have the man who can on the inside of us each and every day. And Father God, we thank you that each and every person here that's either here, you know, in this room or watching us online, Father, we just thank you that every single time that they start going through a situation that seems impossible, that seems like there's no way out, that they'll just ask Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and that situation will crumble and fall. Father God, help us to be better about not worrying about our situation, but just asking your son Jesus every time. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here, everyone that's watching. We thank you, Father, for that you're blessing them in all kinds of ways. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. It's 8 o'clock and 23 seconds. I did good. My sister told me today, make sure I end at 8. Don't be up to 8:15. So we're done. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Don't forget this week and every week to ask Jesus when you need help. Amen. Because the man who can is right there, ready, willing, and able each and every time. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. We'll see you right back here on Sunday morning. Give everybody air hugs, air high fives, and have a great day.